Fantastic. This is Stephanie Gunning, and we are now live on our webinar simulcast for Tools for Authentic and Transformational Writing. This is perhaps the fourth or fifth in a series of webinars that Renee Baribeau of Desert Holistic Network and I, Stephanie Gunning of stephaniegunning.com, are holding in preparation for our trip in April 2011 to Peru, which is a shamanic writer's vision quest. And we do have a website set up for that, and there is a button on the screen for anybody who is live on the computer. You can push that button and find out more details. For those who are listening in to the link, it is shamanicwritersquest.com. Mm-hmm. So basically, you know, we've been doing a lot of talking over the last month or two about the shamanic aspect of this trip. And we have been talking about writing, but it struck us that it would be really great to do a webinar that was more devoted to the writing practices than to the shamanic practices, just so that you would get a sense of the kinds of things that we might be doing as we take this journey, so that it would be a kind of source of renewal for us and a rebirth and visioning aspect, a healing process, not only a travel process, because we intend to have a great time hiking and visiting Incan ruins and exploring the landscape and the colorful culture and the people and just really enjoying being in our bodies in this foreign country and having a great time together. We're going to do writing, but it's not about writing output. It's about writing that anybody can do without censoring themselves or worrying about being judged. It's writing for yourself. And so we're just going to take 1 or 2 minutes here to call in the energy, because we are working energetically and shamanically with this as well. And I promise you that we are going to have some really cool techniques for you to use where you are on your own time over and over again for the rest of your life. But right now, we're going to have Renee call in the energy for us and pull a couple of cards so we can see where the people on this call are.
Great. All right, so let me get some of you have been on the call before, and some of you it might be your first time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call in the directions. I'm going to call in to the ancestors and your ancestors. So while I do this, why don't you, you know, call to your guides and teachers to come with you on this journey today, this exploration into writing. So I'm going to rattle and spritz some cleansing. To the winds of the south, Satchamama, great serpent, wrap your coils of light around us. Wrap your coils of light around this energetic circle that's forming, this energetic group that's taking their writing, taking this exploration of themselves even deeper in their lives. They're ready to shed those skins. Help them. Help them to have the visions that they need to shed the skins that may or may no longer be serving them. Aho. To the winds of the west, Otorongo, Jaguar, Chokochinchai, the Rainbow Jaguar, take us on your back today as we do this exploration of moving through time and space to see what this written word, whether it's to transform us or to transform other or to transform itself into energy, take us on this journey today and show us who it is we are becoming. Aho.
Mm-hmm.
the north. Sarah Kinty, Royal Hummingbird, you who knows stillness and flight, you who knows what's in our heart, that movement from that knowingness, take us on that journey today, that long journey from our heads to our hearts, so that we can fully see that still-centered place within us where truth lives. Aho. To the winds of the east, Condor Eagle, give us that broad vision today. You who flies wing to wing with great spirit, fly with us today. Take us soaring high above this countryside and take us to those mountains in Peru, the Huayna-Picchu, Machu Picchu, the place that we will be envisioning from, Veronica. I call upon my Intiapus, the mountains in the east. I'm calling upon Salkantay, the mountains in the south. I call upon San Gregorio and San Jacinto, the mountains that are surrounding me, the mountains of your birth. Come here and give us the strength as we do this work of transformational writing. Pachamama, sweet, sweet, sweet Mother Earth, thank you for my life today. Thank you for the lives of everybody who's on this call now and all of the people who will listen in later. We come here today to, in service of you, sweet Mother. We know that it's only through healing our thought, word, and deed that we will be of maximum benefit and maximum service to you. Aho. Great Spirit, Mother, Father, God, Ilya Tiksaw, Wira Kochaw, Wonkan Tonka, Star Brothers and Star Sisters, you who are the Nameless One, who has so many names, watch over us as we do this work of transformation, this word of taking our voice out into the world to help other people, this word, this work of taking our own places of wounding and transforming it into energy that will enable us to spread our word for ourselves and for others and for you. We ask for healing for anyone in need of healing today. Grant them the healing that they need. Aho. So I'm pulling three cards on this journey to Peru to give us a little bit of insight. Why is it important? It's very interesting. The grounding, the foundation for this trip is that the winds of change are upon us. The things are happening at such a rapid rate and with such transformation, we're not sure where we fit anymore. All around me, I see people who aren't quite sure if they're coming or going. And so when we go back to places like Peru where there's so much ancient history, there feels like that there's some foundation there that will allow us to tap into this transformation that's coming between us. The group that's going to Peru, and you may be on this call thinking you're going to Peru or not, and you just might be part of an IU, a group that we're building, but we've come together to be a powerful support for each other. Part of this transformation that's going on around us is that people are feeling alone. Well, what I'm seeing here is a card where everybody is connected. Everyone is shoulder to shoulder. And maybe I'll even post these pictures later so you can see them. But this group is about feeling the strength in numbers of navigating the change that we're in. And what the real gift of this is that the inspiration that so often we get, we're riding this wave of tumultuous times that we're not taking the time that we need to replenish ourselves to be re-inspired. So this trip is about inspiration and catching that wave of that energy of that inspiration so that you can come back and take it into your life and into your work, whether you're writing just to look at aspects of yourself that need changing, or if you're wanting to write to help other people in the world, or if you're looking to heal some aspect of yourself through transformation, through transformational writing. And this is a gift. It's a gift. And people will be inspired and given a gift that they're seeking, and it's really divinely inspired.
Wow. So there's one more card, or is that?
Well, the first card was the card of transformation and change.
Mm-hmm.
The second
right.
one was of community. And the third one was of divine inspiration. And
that's
I ended
fantastic.
Up pulling three cards for that.
That is so cool, because I think that that just really fits so much with what we're going to talk about tonight. I just want to remind people that if you're on the computer and you have a question as we're going along, there is a question and answer box. And if you type it in there, I will see it on my computer screen and we will answer it. My goal is to answer the questions that we get this evening. So I am going to take control of this a little bit and just explain what we're going to do on this call, because I want you to know that we really want to give you some tips. There are really three aspects of transformational writing that we're going to cover. The first one is about healing by telling our story on the page. When we allow ourselves to tell our stories, we release energy, and so this kind of expressive writing has healing properties. So we're going to give you a tip about expressive writing and how to do that and what are the benefits and features of that. The second aspect is really delivering messages through our writing for the benefit of other people to help them facilitate their transformation. So there's an aspect to this subject which has to do with serving as a kind of a messenger. And there's an incredible technique that I learned several years ago which I teach to all my clients, which is called the Evoked Sideband, which is a strange name, which I'll explain in a few minutes. This is a great way to expand your perception of any subject, and it's a tool that within a very short amount of time you can see a question or an issue that you're interested in understanding from more angles than the straight-on angle. And then the third area of transformational writing that we're going to talk about is how we use it to shift states within ourselves. How do we alter our consciousness? In shamanism, we call this non-ordinary consciousness. And there is a way that you can use these techniques to prepare for writing in a wiser and more open and energetically supported way. And there is a great exercise that Renee has done with some of the students she teaches in her cooking classes, which actually, when she told me about it, I said, oh, my God, you have to do that on the call tonight, because that really is about memory and about using your senses to find material to include in your writing that's very authentic and deep from within yourself. So I would love to begin with the idea of healing by telling our story on the page. Are you still with me, Renee?
I'm listening.
It's so fun. We have about 45 minutes, so we'll spend about 15 minutes on each. In doing some research in this subject not long ago, I discovered that many people have been studying the impact of something called expressive writing on people who are going through all kinds of physical and emotional traumas. So when people write about traumatic, stressful, or highly charged emotional events, they have found that there are results, improvements in both their physical and psychological health. And this is true whether they're studying this in a clinical setting, like a hospital, or in a casual setting, a non-clinical setting. And so all that is really essential is that somebody is given a very simple instruction, and this is something I highly recommend you try. And you only have to do this for 4 days in a row, by the way, and you will experience all these benefits. For about 20 minutes, they actually say set aside 20 minutes, write for 15, and then spend 5 regrouping afterwards. What you do is you, hang on, I'm going to read the benefits in a second. So for the next 4 days, you set aside 15 to 20 minutes and you write down your very deepest thoughts and feelings about the most traumatic experience of your entire life or about an extremely important emotional issue that affected you in your life. While you're writing, the idea is to really let go and explore your deepest emotions and thoughts about the subject without censorship. You could tie this topic into your relationships with other people, including your parents, your friends, your lovers, your relatives. You could explore it in regard to your past, your present, or your future, to who you've been or who you'd like to be or to who you are now. And you can write every day about the same experience, or every day for the next 4 days when you do this, you could write about different experiences. All of the writing should be kept entirely confidential. Do not share it with anybody. Do not worry about spelling, grammar, or sentence structure that is totally irrelevant. The only rule is that once you begin writing, you continue until the 15-minute time period is up. Now, they've shown that when people do this, there is actually a short-term increase in feelings of distress. This is temporary. You might get into a little bit of a bad mood by bringing up the most traumatic experience of your life and really reflecting upon it. But as you do this, you kind of begin to move this energy, and the emotions come up, and this is the writing of it becomes a way of processing it and beginning to describe it to yourself in a way that your brain can absorb it. Because one of the reasons we get stuck in trauma is that we don't have a way to explain it to ourselves or understand it. So they have shown that people who do this write in this extremely meaningful personal way you don't have to do this for months at a time, just a few days in a row. But if you really go into it and really allow yourself to just dive into the experience of writing about it and the thoughts and the feelings, you will actually have a long-term reduction in all kinds of things. You'll need to go to the doctor fewer times. Your immune system will function better. Your blood pressure may go down. You might breathe better. They've studied the improved liver and lung function, improved moods, a feeling of greater psychological well-being, reduced depressive symptoms, and fewer post-traumatic stress avoidance symptoms or intrusive thoughts. So if anybody's had post-traumatic stress disorder, and I actually did because 21 years ago I was attacked, this is a powerful way of managing those kind of triggers that come up. They've shown that when people do this simple activity for 4 days only, their memory works better. They perform better in sports, at work. Students' grades go up if you do it with high school students. You have a different speech patterns. You choose different and more positive words to say. It's very beneficial to people who are struggling with illnesses. It is so simple. And so this is one of the ways that writing can be healing and cathartic to us. So I invite you to try that technique. Renee, you have done a lot of healing writing.
I have. I was just thinking about what you said. A few years ago, I took myself from Palm Springs and put myself into Colorado for 2 years, and I didn't really know anyone there, so I had a lot of time to sit in my little apartment and type away on my computer. And what I ended up doing was the garbage dump of my life. And you might have heard me say this before, but something that Stephanie just said that was really so important was that as I started to read it, I made the mistake of sharing it with some other people. And while they were really quite supportive of the writing, what happened was I became the witness of my own experience, and I started to write for the audience. And one of my friends was wise enough to say that the first, you know, 6 or 7 chapters was straight from my gut, straight from my heart, straight from, you know, the inner depths of my core authentic being. But then she could see where I started writing for the audience. And, you know, I've talked about this, that especially in a memoir type of thing, you want to write until there's nothing left to say. You want to write into every resentment, every shame, every piece of everything is out on those papers. And then what I did was I stuck them all in a binder, and I didn't even read through them again because I didn't need to. And then, you know, a couple years later, maybe 3 or 4, I sat down to write version 2. And it was only when I started to write the second version had I realized that so much of the healing had happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just happened.
You know, I really believe that as a kind of an organism, as a being, we want to be healthy. And so our body and our mind is constantly trying to find ways to communicate with us to enable us to return to a state of wholeness. Even addictions and things like that are a misguided attempt to bring ourselves contentment and peace. You know, when you do this kind of work that really is allowing the subconscious or unconscious mind to speak to you and to bring that story up and bring the energy that's stuck in your body up and really light, you know, release and lighten up. It can be uncomfortable because there's been a reason why it was stuck, but now it has a voice, it's being paid attention to, and the system knows how to restore itself. And I just find this extraordinary.
And it's really important, though, that piece about really not sharing it, because the other thing is if my sister wrote it out, she has a totally different perspective, you know, as does my mother. You know, one time my mother said to me, "This is my story and I'm sticking to it." and I was, like, floored, because I wanted to know what household was she living in.
Well, there are people, different experience. People celebrate their stories. You know, if somebody is telling you about the worst thing that ever happened to them and they talk about it all the time, they're really bragging. They're telling you that they're very, very special.
Right.
Because they have the absolutely worst story.
That's right. Mine was so special that
exactly.
Nobody else in my family recognized my story. So
that's right. So we all do this, and this is the ego at work, you know. And you know, from a spiritual perspective, as long as you're attached to that story, and you're going to stick to it, it's going to stick to you.
That's right.
And you're not going to heal
did.
From it, you know.
And you know, what was interesting was the second time around when I went to write it again, I had gotten enough insight to know that it was only my story. So, but then I was really trying to write it from the witness of somebody that was healed. so what I found in the second telling of it was that it was still not clean enough. Because now I was trying to protect everyone.
Right.
Because I had, you know, and there's a difference between when you're still in the resentment and the refeeling of it from that point, and then you're trying to pretend you're healed from it, to the place where you really do heal from it.
But this is a great discovery, Renee.
Oh,
I mean,
it was amazing.
Think about it. You realized that you were taking care of people, and you realized it because it was showing up in your writing. And, you know, I work with an awful lot of writers who write spiritual books, and a great number of them are memoirs. And what I've noticed is that whatever is sort of the dynamic that's going on inside their psyche absolutely reveals itself on the page.
Well, you're brilliant at that anyway, Stephanie. You can read through and get what's going on below the surface like nobody. You're really good at that. You're a master at that. I applaud
thank
you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. But what I really want people to know is that as they become self-mastered, and as we're all in that process of maturing and being more aware and conscious, we can allow our writing to reveal that to us.
Right.
And so you discovered that you had a mechanism, you know, if I may be so bold as to say this on the air, you had a mechanism that was going to either protect you or protect them or something, you know. And so it was impacting and influencing your choice of words.
And, you know, and let's take it a step further, that it wasn't even this weekend in we've gone to a Mastermind Pinnacle program together this weekend. And didn't you see when I stood up and I said, well, what is the one insight you learned? That I was still doing it. That I was still more concerned about how I was going to take care of everyone else around me.
Right.
How interesting. So, you know, I still have much movement. There's always still room for growth. And our writing reveals so much about ourselves that way.
It is. It's really that sort of imaginary realm. So which is actually a great segue into the second tool that I wanted to share with everybody this evening. So there's a lot of talk these days about the shift in consciousness in the world. And, we could just say that there's an acceleration that's going on in a certain community of people. It may not be the entire population yet, but there's a growing number of people who are really committed their lives to creating a change that will enable us to essentially sustain life on this planet. So some people work environmentally, some people work spiritually and energetically. I absolutely count myself in this number because of my work with people who are writing and communicating their messages. And I know that Renee is one of these people. And as a shaman, she's working very energetically and in so many other ways as well, creating community through the Desert Holistic Network. There is this great need for people to stand in their power and embrace their authentic gifts. That quality of their absolute being and experience that is unique to them in a unique combination in that lifetime, that is essentially becomes their soul work. If they stop hiding it away, and if they do their healing work, they can stand in their power more and more and more and really be on a mission and deliver this for the betterment of everybody. And it actually, when somebody is being very authentic, they feel joyful, alive, enthusiastic, passionate, loving, connected, relaxed, all kinds of things, mentally sharp. All this wonderful stuff happens. You kind of know you're in that space when it is generally effortless because you don't have to do it. You're just being it. That message that is communicated from that place of true insight that comes right out of who you're being, who you were born as. Sometimes it's just you are that way from day one on this earth, you know. Or maybe it's something that happened to you and you learned something and you're going to share it because you can and because that's just an obvious outgrowth of your experience. So these are messengers. Haven't you met a lot of people like this, Renee?
Oh, for sure. I mean, there's so many messengers out there now, and they're sharing it in such a unique way.
I think that the spiritual author contest that you were in is a great demonstration that there's a lot of people out there who have something to say.
There was like 2,500 people from around the world in that contest. And I have to say that, you know, because I'm such a networker, you know, I have a page now with 1,000 of them, the Next Top Author page on my Facebook. People can join us over there where people are, they're sharing because they need to share. It's like coming from their being. It's and they're giving it out in all different kinds of ways. That's the luxury we have now with the internet and books and things like that. There's so many ways to share. And even now I'm seeing, because I've been invited into the Next Top, what is it, self-help author competition, and it's all new people.
Yeah.
And they've got all something to say, too, and I'm watching them express themselves about how it's like they've just explored this part of themselves where now they're going to come out and tell you about it.
You know, I really think that it's a very foundational human quality of altruism. They've even done, I don't have the exact research in front of me, but they've done studies with babies, infants that are under, you know, the age of 6 months, and definitely prior to being able to speak and communicate in that way, and they don't have social structures. But if they see another person crying, they'll try to comfort them, or they'll immediately burst into tears themselves, sympathetically or empathetically, you know. There is that they can, you know, when you're really in touch with just being, you can really equate other people's being to your being, and that that develops, unless you're sort of limited in some diseased kind of way, such as being sociopathic or something where you're not capable of it because there's something wrong with your brain. But you absolutely can feel and sympathize or empathize. I should stop using the word sympathy. I had an acting teacher years ago. He said sympathy is between shit and syphilis in the dictionary.
Still, huh?
Ever since then, I've tried to use the word empathy, and I've failed it upon occasion.
You're so funny.
But yes, so here is an incredibly cool tool that you can use when you think there might be something more behind the issue that you're writing about, or if you're stuck and you need some inspiration. You know, what often happens with me and with my clients is we know we have to write a chapter about X subject, such as, let's say, you know, the example I use is the heart. So let's say I was writing a medical book or something about the heart, and I had all this knowledge, but I didn't know how to organize it, or if there was something more that I wanted to say, or writing about the heart and meditation or something. Or if, you know, like in Renee's situation, she was disguising her something, some truth, some authentic expression, and she needed to let it out. And perhaps, you know, what often happens, particularly with memoir writers that I've seen, is that there's something very uncomfortable that they don't want to, that's suppressed. So knowing the right balance to go and all of that. So this is called Evoked Sidebands. And the reason it's called Evoked Sidebands is because it really has to do with your peripheral vision and your focus. So if you would indulge me for 1 minute and stick your pointer finger, your index finger, up in the air in front of your eyes and focus on it intently. So it's about 2 feet in front of you. You can see your fingernail and the wrinkles around the knuckle, et cetera, et cetera. And now, while you're focusing on that, I want you also to take in what you see at the periphery to both sides of you simultaneously, and all of the material. I don't want you to leave your focus on your finger. Your eyes should be there, but I just want you to allow yourself to perceive all the rest of the environment around you, and you may even be able to feel into what's happening behind you or to know what's there just because you've been where you are before. Like, I know the kitchen is behind me. I know what it looks like, and I can perceive it even though I can't see it because I'm looking in the other direction. So that is the extent of what you normally shut out. You can put your hand down now, by the way. That's the extent of what you normally shut out in your perception when you start focusing on something. And so this technique is to enable you to access more of your perception when you're writing. And you do it through handwriting. So basically, what you do is you need two pieces of paper. And this is something you could do it on a computer with different fonts and whatever, but I really recommend doing it with handwriting because your handwriting is connected to your brain. Your right hand is crosswired to your left hemisphere. Your left hand is crosswired to your right hemisphere in terms of motor skills. Language itself is wired in both hemispheres of your brain, oddly, and thoughts and the imagination and images are in both sides of the brain. So you can get an awful lot of information by just doing very specific things with your handwriting. So what you do is, so let's say you have a specific topic that you're going to write about. You will write down one or two, three at the most, sentences that relate to the subject at hand. You will write a question, let's say, about that you want an answer to. And this is a way of accessing inner wisdom, as well as expanding your perception. And as you're writing it, you're already going to notice that you're having thoughts. And so what you do is you may also want to have a tape recorder next to you. You could speak right into your tape recorder and describe the thoughts that you're having as you're writing this. And what you're going to do is you're going to read and you're going to reread those two or three sentences for 2 to 3 minutes. You're just going to stay focused on them. And on the second piece of paper, you're going to write down every thought and image that comes to mind without censoring, every single thing that comes through your mind as you're focusing on those words and questions. It's a stream of consciousness kind of a thing. And you don't have to force, just, you know, keep up with it if you can. So after 3 minutes or so, what you're going to do is you're going to write down exactly the same words and questions below the first ones, but this time you're going to write them in big block letters, capital letters. So your handwriting is now changed. And you're going to do the exact same thing. You're going to focus on them, read them through in those block letters, and you're going to make note on the second piece of paper or in your tape recorder of all the thoughts and images that come up as you're focusing on them. And you're going to find that different thoughts and imagery comes up, new metaphors, new connections, some of the same ones, but it's going to be really weird. It's going to open up some perceptions you didn't know you had. Now, you're going to do this again, but this time you're going to write with your other hand. So if you just wrote that with your right hand, now you're going to struggle and write it all out with your left hand. Same questions, same words, same sentences. This is the benefit of writing shorter sentences, by the way. And after you've done that, you're going to focus for your same 2 to 3 minutes on those words and those phrases, and you're going to record in your tape recorder or on the second page, this you can write with your dominant hand, all the thoughts, all the images, et cetera, on the same subject matter. So now we've done this 3 times, normal handwriting, block letters, other hand. For me, left hand. For a lefty, your right hand. You can actually do this writing backwards. Or you could do something that just what has been described as exotic writing. Just change your handwriting. If you, you know, change your script, slope it the other direction, jumble it up, you know, make it loopy, just exotic handwriting, something that's foreign to you, not of your normal personality and so forth. Imagine you're signing for a UPS package on one of those stupid little screens. It always comes out in a different handwriting. I don't know why. It's not me.
But give me the package anyway.
Exactly. It's like I'm signing for Stephanie. What really is amazing about this technique is that it takes a little while, but if you're writing a chapter in a book or an essay or a blog article or anything like that, this really is going to help you open up to some thoughts that you didn't know you were having. They were underneath the layer of your conscious cognitive mind, which is maybe the top 1 or 2% of your thinking mind. This stuff is going on inside you all of the time. So if you're looking for solutions for problems, if you're looking for guidance and you want to tap in perhaps to something metaphysical, this even works. But for sure, human beings, all of us, are perceiving more than we allow ourselves to perceive in any given moment. And this is the kind of focus that has been used by people from Michelangelo to Einstein. You know, when you focus on something intently, repeatedly, over and over, exploring it from different angles and points of view, you will make discoveries. And then maybe you'll walk away and you'll go do something else, and a little bit later in the day you'll bump into somebody and they'll say something to you, and boom, it's like the final piece of the puzzle. The whole thing opens up. So this is kind of extraordinary. You know, I'm going on and on about it, but I've done this and it really works.
You know, can you just imagine doing this in a 16th century rock formation and, you know, in Peru, when all of a sudden you probably could be transported to a whole different time period, and you wonder what's really going to start to come through when we do this kind of an exercise on one of our writing afternoons.
And after we've done ceremony or even before ceremony to figure out what you want to focus on.
Right.
Is there something that you want to bring in on your vision quest?
This
process might take up to, you know, it's no shorter than a half hour, but it could be up to an hour that you could sit and do this.
Right.
You know, you could do this for a whole afternoon. It would be an intense way to focus, but you know, I'm with you. I mean, to me, this is, you know, this is exploring one aspect of us. We think we're thinkers, but we're really not. Thinking is only one of the parts of being human. We're really bodies and feelings and, you know, experiences. And this is going to put you in touch with so much more of who you are.
Especially once we've stepped you outside of your ordinary reality and put you into a whole new atmosphere and environment that you're not familiar with. So it just opens up all of the possibilities for more exploration of what's below the surface of your writing or your living.
Yes.
I think it's more important about how you're living.
Yes.
And what you just said about all of the feelings and the stuff kind of leads us into the next piece.
Oh, it absolutely does. And you know, Renee, you're really the expert on this the shamanic approach here. I mean, I can approximate a definition for people, but not quite get there all the way. So what is non-ordinary reality or non-ordinary consciousness?
Well, non-ordinary reality or non-ordinary consciousness is that, you know, the shamans know that we're connected to everything and everything is connected to us. So, like, if you're sitting in your living room right now and there's a chair across from you, it has its own energy makeup. And in that energy makeup, it's no different from you. It might have a different configuration as you see it, but, you know, some of the work of shape-shifting is to be able to understand the energy that makes up that chair and to merge with it and become that chair.
Mm.
And so, you know, it's we project out onto the world our vision of it, but the shaman understands that, you know, to really know rain, you can make it rain. So really, and there's the shamans in Africa who understand energy so well that they know how to turn themselves into energetic orbs and bilocate. So we're really at the baby steps of this energy, energy model. So should I go into the exercise because we're running out of time?
We're fine, Renee.
We have
15
okay.
minutes, and I've been watching it. And,
perfect.
And so, actually, we have 13, but we're doing good. So one of the things that, one of the tools is to help you really get into the meaning of your experience. I think that's one way of saying it. And Renee was doing this with a cooking class, and I just think that this is an incredible way to prepare to do some writing, because you could apply this same technique not only to the preparation of food or the eating of food, but to any subject matter that you want to address when you're writing. So with that introduction, I'd love for you to describe what you did.
Okay, well, I'm teaching this class right now called Eating on Purpose, and it's about healing your relationship to food. And it's a three-part class. In the first part, we do an exploration of healing around our relationship to food, and then I do a cooking demonstration, and then we sit down as a group to have a family dinner. And all of them have their energetic components to it. But the first night, I want to do this with you, and food is such a perfect one, because we all have some kind of memories lodged down deep there about food. And, you know, so it's easily to get really literal about a relationship that you've had to food. So what I want to do is I want you to close your eyes. We're going to do a little bit of an exploration about what we really know about food at a level of a literal, how we describe it, how we believe about it from our ancestral, and really what the energy of it is. So I want you to close your eyes, and it just come to me on this conversation today is to let's talk about potatoes. You might think that that's funny to talk about potatoes, but, you know, we have one relationship with potatoes, and in Peru, they have an entirely different knowledge of potatoes because they have about 250 to 300 varieties of potatoes because that was all that they could grow there. So that's why we're talking about potatoes. All right?
It's good. I love potatoes.
Good. So I want you to all close your eyes, and we're going to potato land. We're a bunch of potato heads today. And I want you to go back to your earliest memory of potatoes. Now, for me, I remember my grandmother's potatoes. I'm going to give you a little clue. She made the best mashed potatoes because she used Land O'Lakes butter in them. I can still remember right now how they were stiff, how they were a little bit lumpy, and exactly what they tasted like and what the house smelled like. I want you to find that memory for yourself of your earliest memory of potatoes? I want you to smell them. I want you to taste them. I want you to know them. So then I want you to go from that memory up a little bit further in your memory, and I want you to recall the holiday or the situation with your family unit. What was going on in the dynamic around these potatoes? For me, my grandmother was shrieking. My grandfather was sitting in the living room or downstairs hiding, drinking his beer. The TV was on. What were the memories associated going on around these potatoes in your house? You'll all be going out for potatoes tonight, I bet you.
I know. I got to have some French fries in a big hurry.
So now I want you to bring it up just a touch further. So how did potatoes fit into your mythology in your neighborhood? You know, were you poor working Irish family where there was always potatoes boiling on people's stoves? Was it a staple? What was your beliefs about potatoes? Now I want you to see the potato from a higher perspective. I want you to give the potato, I'm actually reaching up my hand and giving this potato to spirit. What is the sensation? It's funny, as I'm doing it, I can almost feel myself like as a 6 or 7 year old handing this potato to God. And my hand is hot. And there's this meeting. And there's this general feeling that everything's okay. So I could bring that general feeling of everything's okay back down into my experience, or I could sit down and now go to a piece of paper and write out all of these levels of what I personally experienced, what my family was doing, what the community was doing, and how this was a nurturing piece for me in my life. And now I want you, just to the last part about this, is I want you to wet your tongue, and are you having some sensation of potatoes?
Hmm.
That's my potato head exercise.
That's a beautiful way to invoke meaning, memory, and sense memory. It's really reminiscent to me of an exercise that I was taught when I was an actor.
Oh, really?
Where you would literally practice exactly miming, drinking a cup of coffee, and sensing everything about it—the smell, the color, and I believe that as a writer, you know, we communicate by creating pictures for people. You know, I noticed that we have a couple of questions, and we've got just a few minutes left, and I want to really just see if we can answer them. First of all, hello, Jan. I see you have no question, but you said hi, so I'm saying hi to you. Ivan, who's calling from or who's in from Slovakia, you know, you're asking a great question about how to spread and share and be successful with writing and thoughts. That's a little bit different than the topic that we're addressing today. But you did ask about Greg Braden, and yes, he has been a client of mine for years editorially. I wouldn't call him a student. He's a very accomplished person, and he is a very good writer. But all writers need editors, and I'm his, so I would say that that's great. If you would like to ask me some additional questions, please feel free to email me. I would be happy to answer. You can get me at contact@stephaniegunning.com. That's a great way to reach me. And hello, Lane. I'm actually going to be coming back to Rhode Island to do a workshop on writing in March 12th. So if you'd like to be there, it would be great to see you. So your question, and this is for Renee as well as me, do we ever see a thing such as hyper-empathy or too much empathy? Renee was talking about taking care of others more than the self, and sometimes we might feel so strongly about getting through a message through to others that it kind of gets jammed up. So what do we think about that?
Well, Stephanie, I know you and I have talked about this before when you've had writers who are trying to write something that they haven't healed from yet.
Yes.
And so, you know, a lot of the processes we're talking about here will move you to the place where your writing can get really clear and guided.
Yeah, for me, not feeling pushing. I think that sometimes when you're writing and you feel like you're pushing to get an idea across, you it's almost like an opera. You need to stop and sing your aria.
Right.
Oh, I'm going to open the door. I'm going to open the door in a minute. In a minute, I'll open the door. I wonder what's behind the door.
That's great. Or you come and take a hike with us to Peru, and you'll be so sore and tired from hiking some of these trips. You will come to your authentic voice without knowing it or forcing it.
Yes, I agree. If you're in your body and you're in the present moment, which is what happens when you're moving,
right?
For me, dancing,
right?
It could be taking a shower in the morning. I mean, it's notorious that people get really creative when they're doing something else.
Exactly. That's why I'm going skiing next week.
Bravo! Bravo!
Bravo.
So this, just to, like, we have a little over a minute, so let me just remind people that if they might be interested in doing this kind of writing with us in Peru, while we're also seeing amazing Incan ruins, visit the website. There's a button
and eating potatoes.
And eating potatoes, 130,000 different kinds, apparently.
350.
350, that's quite impressive.
Right.
And at a high altitude. So you'll feel very high. That is shamanicwriterquest.com, and we would love to have you. You're absolutely invited.
And we really, if you're thinking about coming with us and you have some obstacles or some hesitations, please call me up. Let me talk to you. I am great at removing obstacles, and we kind of really need to know if you're coming with us now.
Yeah, we do need people to get in their deposits so we can book the trip.
Right, because we need to passport
by
for the train.
That's got to happen by February 9th.
Right.
It's going to be a small group. It's going to be a great trip. That I guarantee you.
Fun people.
Yeah. So we have reached the end of the hour. And I just thank you all for being with us. And I love sharing this kind of information. And I've got so many more exercises to share in the future. I just love it. So have a great night.
Thank you all for coming.
Bye, everybody.
Okay, bye.